In this live stream, we are going to discuss essential passages from The Practice of the Presence of God, The Best Rule for a Holy Life by Brother Lawrence. This book is a foundational spiritual masterpiece. What do I mean by that? We have our sacramental life. We all have devotions, the rosary and the Divine Mercy Chaplet. The spirituality of this book is going to be how we want to live in between our sacraments, how we want to live in between our rosaries. Now, this book was fortunately the first spiritual book that I ever read. I can remember it distinctly. I was walking through a Catholic bookstore in downtown Houston. I'm searching the aisles. I'm looking at all of the various titles. When I saw this title, this moment was etched in my mind. I pulled it out. The version that I got was gray and it had burgundy writing and it said The Practice of the Presence of God. And immediately I had a deep understanding. I need this. I need the presence of God. And when I began to read it, the messages deeply penetrated my heart. And so what I want to do in this video is highlight some essential passages and then to give you some background, some personal anecdotes that will help the message to penetrate your heart. Now, this isn't the version of the book that I purchased. I purchased this off Amazon and I'm showing it to you because I don't like it. I don't like the translation and I looked at it and it said a modern rendition. Because this book is so powerful and so fruitful, our Protestant brothers and sisters have said, whoa, this is really good. And they took out, in this case, some of the essential Catholic elements, particularly when he mentions Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament. So I don't like this copy. At the end of our live stream, I will give you a reference where you can get a PDF for free, the translation that I like, and also the audio version for free, the translation that I like. But this book is so powerful that it has been foundational in the lives of several influential Catholics, modern Catholics. My friend Matt Frad, Dr. Peter Kraft absolutely loves this book and says this is the foundation of his spirituality. And also recently in an interview, Pope Leo XIV was asked, what is your favorite spiritual book? And he said, The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. Now, I strive to live this spirituality. I think about this book. I think about the concepts of this book on a regular basis. And I'm going to be quite honest with you. I struggle. To live this spirituality is a daily challenge. But because I think about it so often, I obsess over it, to be honest with you. I want to share with you my favorite passages, passages that really pricked my conscience and opened my eyes at key moments in my life. So let's begin. The first passage is the passage when Brother Lawrence first has his conversion. Passage number one. That in the winter, seeing a tree stripped of its leaves and considering that within a little time, the leaves would be renewed. And after that, the flowers and fruit appear, he received a high view of the providence and power of God. When I first received this book and I read that passage, it deeply resonated with me. When I was in college, originally, I was studying physics, engineering. I was really into the sciences and we were discovering how the universe is very well fine-tuned. So in the 17th century, Brother Lawrence could just look at nature and say, wow, the power of God is incredible. This tree is withered and it's going to bear fruit in the springtime. With my scientific background, I was thinking of the creation of the universe, the Big Bang explosion, and the fundamental principles and qualities of the universe. And then we have all of this order. So for me, I was like using my science background and I was like, oh my gosh, the power of God is incredible. Now that was going through my mind when a certain event happened. I was taking math courses, I was taking theology courses, and I had an exam. I believe the class was differential equations, and I skipped the exam in the morning. Forgive me, I'm a sinner. I skipped the exam, but I went to school later in the afternoon to take another exam. And I was walking down this sidewalk on the academic mall. And as I'm walking down the sidewalk, I see my professor on the other side of the sidewalk, maybe 150 feet away. He doesn't see me. I see him, and all of a sudden I'm like, Brother Lawrence, it just downloaded into my brain, God, you are present. God, you are the master of the universe. You control the cosmos. I need you to bail me out. And so I'm walking, overwhelmed with a sense of the presence of God, overwhelmed with an understanding of His divine providence. There were explosions at the creation of the universe that He is still manipulating to this very day, and He can get me out of this. And so I'm walking towards Dr. Colvin. He's walking towards me, and I'm like, Jesus, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And right as he's about to approach me, somebody yells, Dr. Colvin! And he turns and looks over his right shoulder, and I walk right past him, and I am like living in a dream. It's like surreal. I'm watching this from out of my body. It's an out of body experience. God is real. The providence of God is real. The practice of the presence of God is powerful. And I just witnessed this. You can't say, so people would say, that's not a miracle. Honey, that's a miracle. That's a miracle for me. The miracle is of God's divine providence. And that is what Brother Lawrence experienced. In a spiritual way, I experienced it when I was walking past my professor because I skipped my exam. I know that's a crazy example, but that's the example that made a deep, lasting impact on me concerning the power and the providence of God. Let's take it a little bit further. Let's go back to Brother Lawrence. We ought to act with God in the greatest simplicity, speaking to Him frankly and plainly and imploring His assistance in our affairs, just as they happen, that God never failed to grant it, as He had often experienced. So we talk to God, we ask God for the graces, and God doesn't fail. He never experienced failure. So that promise, boy, that put in my heart a great zeal for this practice, Brother Lawrence, that he said to God, it was His business He was about, and that afterwards he found it very well performed. He could not tell how the matter passed, but it proved very well that in difficulties we need only have recourse to Jesus Christ and beg His grace, with which everything became easy. In the life of Brother Lawrence, he had some tasks to do. He considered himself to be a low IQ individual. Ordinarily, he would be very worried about how he's going to perform this task. And he said, I just put myself in the presence of God. I did God's will in the present moment. And when I looked back upon the activities, everything worked out. So the practice of the presence of God is one of confidence, is one of trust, that everything is going to work out. Our duty is to the present moment, to doing God's will, and to love, Brother Lawrence. That the trust we put in God honors Him much and draws down great graces. That it was impossible not only that God should deceive, but also that He should long let a soul suffer, which is perfectly resigned to Him and resolved to endure everything for His sake. When He had business to do, He did not think of it beforehand, but when it was time to do it, He found in God, as in a clear mirror, all that was fit for Him to do. When He maintained the sense of the presence of God, when He asked God for help, God never failed Him. And so I personally put this to the test. I was at World Youth Day in Spain, Madrid, in 2011, and I was working for the Goodness Reigns film contest. They had contracted me to go to World Youth Day and to make short films about the Goodness Reigns film contest. I wanted to see Pope Benedict XVI. When I went to World Youth Day, I was shocked that there were almost a million people there. Getting close to Benedict XVI was essentially out of the question. And so I had deep convictions that it was the will of God for me to go to the press office and to request a press pass to get on the bus to be escorted and put right in front of Pope Benedict XVI. Now you have to understand, I, in 2011, wasn't just a YouTuber. I was an unknown YouTuber. And I made a website You know the name of that website? TrueFaith.tv. And so when I went to the media press area, I signed up and I said, oh, my television station is TrueFaith.tv. And they said, oh, okay, give us all your info. Come back and then we'll have your press credentials. So you know and I know, I am not the press. But I showed up the next day anyways. I went up to the line. I told the lady, I'm here for my press pass so that we can go see Pope Benedict XVI. And they said, what is your name? And I said, Gabriel. And I told her my last name. And I said, I'm with True Faith TV. And she looked at the paper and she saw ABC, NBC, EWTN, all these news organizations and all the names listed. And she said, you're not on this list. And I said, can you please check one more time? TrueFaith.tv, TV. And she said, that is not on the list. I already checked. Gabriel Castillo, please check. You're not on the list. So I sat right by a pillar, very defeated, as all of the press were picking up their media credentials. And I said, Lord God, I'm only here because this is your will. I have a duty to record for the Goodness Reigns film contest. It would be really helpful if I had Pope Benedict XVI. I am being paid to do this. This is part of my duties. I know you're present. What do you want me to do next? And I'm just sitting there in his presence. And all of a sudden, the lady who was at the press desk leaves, and a man who I think was in charge looks at me and he says, you, sir, what are you doing? And I said, press. He said, prensa? And I said, sí, prensa. He said, fotógrafo? I said, sí, fotógrafo. And he said, bien, qui? And I said, okay, sí, señor. And then he looked my name. He made a press pass for me. He gave me all the credentials. He says, go quickly because the bus is leaving. And so I am now unqualified, walking with a press pass, being led onto a bus with police escort to go see Pope Benedict XVI. And I know for a fact that would not have happened if I was not practicing the presence of God and discerning God's will in the present moment and sitting there in faith. And you know, the whole time it's very surreal. This is very surreal. And we were walking back from the audience with Pope Benedict and the bus was much farther away. And this time it's really late at night. I had gone there in the morning and now it's like 10 p.m. at night when we're going back. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, I'm so hungry. Like my stomach hurts. I am so hungry. I've not eaten anything. I don't know really where I'm at. I only know how to get back to my hotel from where the press office was. So everything in Spain at this hour is closed for no food. So I was like, Lord, and I was just talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm so hungry. Your presence can do everything. You're the best in the world. You can provide, you can turn stones into bread. And right when I was thinking that, two little blonde girls came up carrying a basket full of bread. And they said, sir, would you like some bread? And I said, street bread. And she says, yes, sir, street bread. And I took this baguette of bread and my press pass. And I even took a photo of it because I'm sitting on the bus marveling, what is my life? What is my life? Now, I know that is an insane circumstance that I just explained to you. You probably don't believe it. I will try to find pictures and put those up. But these things really happen when you have utter, complete trust in the Lord. That the greater the trust we put in Him, it honors Him so much. So do not put limits on the power and the providence of God. It's more miraculous to me, the miracles of divine providence, the miracles of timing. Like I might not have seen many medically verified healings. I've seen a couple, but on a regular basis, I see miracles of divine providence, and I owe that all to considering the majesty, the power of God, and how He works in the cosmos, bringing good even out of evil. You just cannot imagine the great good God brings out of evil. Just think about the death of our Creator, the death of Jesus Christ, brought about the salvation of every human soul. What can God do with my sacrifices and my sufferings? Incredible things. The trust we put in God honors Him much and draws down great graces. Now, we need a course correction because I already know what's happening in your mind and your heart because this happened to me. Wow, the practice of the presence of God, that is the best rule for a holy life. That is the best rule for an easy life. And so I began in my own personal life, I'm confessing to you, I began to practice the presence of God out of selfishness. I began to take tests in the presence of God because I wanted good grades. I even began, when I was playing baseball in college, it was like a club team, I began to pray Hail Marys as I'm batting. I'm praying Hail Marys and I'm praying the Jesus prayer because I noticed that when I did, the catcher would drop my third strike and he would overthrow to first base. And next thing you know, I'm going to second base, throws the ball to second base, the second baseman drops it, and I'm getting an in the park home run off of three strikes that I swung on. So I'm starting to do the practice of the presence of God because, baby, this is my jackpot. I hit the jackpot on getting what I want from God. This is not okay. This is not okay. Purity of intention is essential. So I'm going to share with you some passages that will purify your intention because we don't want to be presumptuous. We don't want to manipulate God. We don't want to make ourselves God and then say, God, why didn't you do what I want? That's not Christianity. We are His servant. We are His child. We are sinful and deserving of the worst crimes. That's me. I deserve hell for all eternity. Who am I to be getting such benefits? So Brother Lawrence helps us to have a purity of intention. Let's take a look. We should seek our satisfaction only in fulfilling His will, whether He lead us by suffering or by consolation. For all would be equal to a soul truly resigned, that he had always been governed by love, to make the love of God the end of all his actions. He was pleased when he could take up a straw from the ground for the love of God, seeking him only and nothing else, not even his gifts. There is needed only a heart resolutely determined to apply itself to nothing but Him for His sake and to love Him only. So it's not just about being in the presence of God to get whatever I want. It's being in the presence of God to do God's will and to accept God's will and to do everything out of love for Him. So I say I struggle with this to this very day because it is a constant self-denial. It is a constant purification to only do things to satisfy the Lord. So when you're taking your exam, when you're filling out your paperwork at the doctor's office, you're spelling your name, G, but you're writing your G, you're writing your A, B, R, I, E, L with great love, with great affection as a sign of your love for God. Now, there's a great movie. I don't know if it's appropriate for all children because it's got some blue jokes in it, but The Princess Bride. This is the best example I can give you. It's from The Princess Bride. Wesley is the farm boy of Buttercup. And Buttercup, she says, farm boy, fetch me some water. And Wesley says, as you wish. Farm boy, do this, as you wish. Farm boy, do that, as you wish. And the narrator says, every time Wesley said, as you wish, what he was really saying, I love you. I love you. I love you. And so too, that has to be how we act. With every stroke of our pen, with every action, we're doing it like a man who's in love. And you're saying to your Creator, even with the most mundane tasks, accept this as a sign of my love for you. And what this intention does is it makes everything sacred. It makes everything holy. Let's continue. Without being discouraged on account of our sins, we should pray for His grace with a perfect confidence, as relying upon the infinite merits of our Lord. Our sanctification does not depend upon changing our works, but in doing that for God's sake, which we commonly do for our own. So Jesus is infinitely generous. Your sins are great, but that doesn't keep Jesus from being generous. He will give you the graces if you ask for them, and don't be discouraged by your own wretchedness. This is an act of humility. Accept the fact you are a sinful, wretched human being who is unworthy of the grace and the love of God, and God in His goodness showers graces upon you. And the greater the sinner, it just shows how much goodness He has by giving you even more of His mercy and of His grace. But this is the secret. doing for God's sake that which we commonly do for our own. You brush your teeth, you comb your hair, you put on your moisturizer. Your daily routine is what I'm describing. You do your moisturizer, you brush your teeth because you want to take care of your teeth. But to practice the presence of God is to do ordinary activities for God's sake. I'm brushing these teeth because God has given them to me and I am thankful for them. I'm putting moisturizer or I'm fixing my hair, not because I want to look good, but because I want to please the Lord and I've given my life over to Him completely. I comb my hair as if I'm combing the hair of the Lord Jesus. So you can see how this is simple, but it is very difficult to break down ordinary tasks. This is the spirituality of Saint Jose Maria Escrivá. This is the spirituality of Saint Therese of the Child Jesus. This is how we sanctify everything and even the most mundane tasks. Entering data into an Excel spreadsheet becomes holy. Let's continue. This is so essential. When he failed at his duty, he only confessed his fault, saying to God, "I shall never do otherwise if you leave me to myself. You must hinder my falling and mend what is amiss." That after this, he gave himself no further uneasiness about it. So many people, when they fall into sin and they fall into sin and they fall into sin time and time and time again, they get so discouraged. They say, "I'm worthless. I can't do it. I'll never be saved. I'm the worst man ever. I'm so ungrateful." True. True. But you know what you sound like? You sound like the devil. That's what the devil says to you. You're worthless. You'll never be saved. You can't do it. So, humility, true humility, saying, "Lord, this is all that I am. This is all that I have. I will never be different unless you give me the grace. Please change me." And you recommit your heart to God and you don't look back. You say, "Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I'm a wretch. I keep doing this. I will only be able to stop with your assistance. I'll put my will 100% on you. Let's keep going. Let's keep moving forward." This is true and authentic humility. Humility is the truth about yourself. Yes, wretched sinner. And the truth about God. What is God? He's so merciful. He's so good. He could change every heart in the world in an instant. So people who say, "I'm so worried, the world is falling apart." It is, but don't be bothered too much about it, because if God wanted to change it, he could snap his fingers and change it. So we do the best we can in the present moment to surrender and go lovingly and calmly with Jesus Christ as if he's walking with us. So the secret is his presence. Out of humility, because he's present, I'm doing everything out of love for him. And let's continue. That God never failed offering us his grace at each action, that he distinctly perceived it and never failed of it unless when his thoughts had wandered from a sense of God's presence, or he had forgot to ask his assistance. So as long as Brother Lawrence kept a sense of the presence of God, as long as Brother Lawrence asked God for help, he always perceived that he received it. I experienced this when I began to give talks. I was not always a public speaker. I was not always on the internet. And the first few times, I was very, very nervous and very afraid. But I focused first and foremost on having a sense of the presence of God, of asking God for help, of asking God, "What do you want and how do you want it done?" And that, to this day, is my only strength, is the only reason I can hit record on the camera. It's the only reason I can stand in front of a crowd. It's because God doesn't fail. And if you have purity of intention and you're truly striving to do his will, lose or succeed, you thank God in your success, and in your failures, you say, "Lord, forgive me. Let's pick up and keep going." This is so beautiful. This is so beautiful. And we really need to allow this to penetrate our hearts. "The time of business," said he, "does not with me differ from the time of prayer. And in the noise and clutter of my kitchen, while several persons are at the same time calling for different things, I possess God in his great tranquility as if I were upon my knees at the Blessed Sacrament. This is that key passage that was missing from this book, which is going to go into the trash after this video. I possess God in his great tranquility as if I were upon my knees at the Blessed Sacrament. The presence of God, to practice the presence of God, the number one presence of God is Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. To quote a modern saint, Mother Teresa, we cannot see Jesus in his distressing disguise of the poor if I do not first see Jesus in his humble disguise in the Blessed Sacrament. So we go to the Blessed Sacrament because that's where his presence is real, true, and substantial. We put ourselves there, we are recollected, we are loving in his presence. Now, Brother Lawrence is saying, that same heart that you have in the Blessed Sacrament, and this is really important, that when you leave with that same presence. So I go before the Blessed Sacrament, I'm recollected, I leave, and normally I'm like, bye Jesus, see you later. No, 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 no. Jesus is coming with me. What do I mean Jesus is coming with you? How is God present? He's holding you into existence. He's in everything. He's incredible. And if you are in the state of grace, you are a real and true tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a divine person. He's really inside of you. You are a walking tabernacle. Your guardian angel is present. There's so many ways that the Lord is present to you, but you have to continue in the presence of God when you leave. Because there's some people who will say, why do I need to go to the Blessed Sacrament when Jesus is present everywhere? Again, you have to have that sense of his presence, the most recollected you can ever be, with his real, true, substantial presence, and you use that as a way to motivate you to walk in that same confidence as if you were on your knees before the Blessed Sacrament. So you take Jesus with you to work. Personal habit that I like to do is I like to pull up a live stream, a webcam of Perpetual Adoration. I find that very helpful. Is it necessary? No, because Jesus sees me. Jesus is holding me into existence. I am truly a member of his body. Let's continue. That we need only to recognize God intimately present with us, to address ourselves to him every moment, that we may beg his assistance for knowing his will in things doubtful, and for rightly performing those which we plainly see he requires of us, offering them to him before we do them, and giving him thanks when we have done. So you can see, this actually sounds simple, but on a daily basis, it's difficult because we have concupiscence. We have self-love and self-will, and it's very easy to break the sense of the presence of God. Personally, I have found when I go to my phone and check social media, when I go to my phone to look at the news, I tell myself, hey, I'm just going to do this for a moment. But even if I only looked at my phone only for a moment, I find that I have lost the sense of the presence of God. So begin to be docile to when you have a sense of the presence of God and when the presence of God has left you. The reality is the presence of God never leaves you. It's just your ability to recall that. And I'm going to give you some tips in a moment to make a frequent recollection. This is the last passage that I'm going to share with you. We should establish ourselves in a sense of God's presence by continually conversing with him, that in order to form a habit of conversing with God continually and referring all we do to him, we must at first apply to him with some diligence. This is going to require heroic effort. You're going to have to really go out of your way to make this a habit. Brother Lawrence is saying, talk to him. Make it a habit of talking to God frequently about all things at all times, and that it is a shame to stop this conversation. So one, we're talking to him because he's really present. We're talking to him because we need his help, but also as a way to remind ourselves that he's present. He told me that all consists in one hearty renunciation of everything which we are sensible does not lead to God, that we might accustom ourselves to a continual conversation with him, with freedom and in simplicity. I remember when I began to purify my life, I took this to heart. All consists in one hearty renunciation of everything that does not lead to God. Everything without exception. If I can't glorify God through it, I don't want anything to do with it. So if I'm going to the movies and I find out that the movie I'm going to look at has a sex scene in it, I won't watch it. I don't care how great the movie is. Why? Because it doesn't glorify God and I have renounced everything. That leaves a lot though. That leaves a lot for me to do. So what did I do when I was beginning to purge my life of sinful things? Well, I can glorify God with basketball. Can I play basketball and glorify God? Sure. I'm going to run up and down the court as a sign of my love for God. I'm going to try and have perfect form as a sign of my love for God. I'm going to try to do the Hakeem Olajuwon dream shake as a sign of my love for God. And it glorifies God because God has given me a body and he wants me to exercise. Sometimes it is God's will that I play video games with my children just to make a bond with them. It is God's will that I play hide and seek. It is God's will that I have fun. It is not God's will that I sin, but everything in its season, and you will know what God's will is in the present moment. So there are a lot of things going on here. So the book, the content seems simple. When Pope Leo says, my favorite book, Matt Frad or Peter Crave say, love this book, The Secret to the Spiritual Life. Yes, it is. But there's really a lot involved in here. There's this stripping away of your will. There's this acceptance that God is present, and I forget, so I have to do that frequently. There's this conversation. There's confidence in the presence of God. So I'm going to give you a couple of tips that might help you to make a step-by-step practical means of living in the presence of God. Now, I have taught over and over again RCC, the steps to mental prayer. So you have to understand, the things that I am trying to teach to you are not pious devotions. I've said it so many times. I'm trying to teach to you a divine science, a systematic method of going to God that works, that is reliable, that is backed up by the doctors and the teachers of the church. So the three basic steps to mental prayer actually make the practice of the presence of God simple, memorable, and practical. So let's just review those steps, and then I will give you an example. The first step to mental prayer, and all prayer, is recollection, making an act of faith in the presence of God. God, I believe you're present here. How is he present? We've already discussed. He's holding me into existence. I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm a member of the body of Christ. My guardian angel is present. That's an act of faith. Essentially, that's this book. So just making that act of faith, saying it intellectually, just thinking it for half of a second, that's enough. That's the beginning. RCC, there's two other steps. Consideration. Consider some divine truth. Consider some aspect of the life of Christ. Put a pin in that. We're going to come right back to that. And then C, conversation. Brother Lawrence is saying you have to have a heart-to-heart conversation with Christ. So what Brother Lawrence didn't understand at that time because of when he lived was that these are actually the steps to mental prayer. These are the steps to what all the great doctors of the church said are foundational, the gateway to the higher forms of prayer. So let's take, for example, Brother Lawrence's conversion. That time that he saw a tree that was stripped bare, and then he considered the power and the providence of God. Step number one, God, I believe you're present. I'm having a moment in the presence of God. I'm considering divine providence, the power of God's providence, the explosion at the creation of the universe 13.7 billion years ago, where everything seemed so chaotic, but it was so perfectly fine-tuned for there to be intelligent life this day on earth, that this Goldilocks of a circumstance exists was the hand of God. So you're contemplating this marvelousness. And then because of that, you have a conversation with him from the heart. God, you can do this. God, I need to pay the rent. I am not worried. I've got so much confidence in you. What do you want me to do? You tell me what to do and I will do it. I will serve you. And because I love you and you love me, I know you're going to take care of me. So confidence, love, conversation. It all starts by implementing practically in a systematic method, recollection, a short consideration, and a deep conversation. Now, you do this from time to time before you begin any activity. Whenever there's a downtime, some people will carry a little picture of a saint. They'll carry a rosary or they'll carry a crucifix as reminders of the presence of God. So these are all things that I want you to implement, but I want you to understand something very important. I'm sharing with you these tips on the practice of the presence of God because in future live streams, I want to help you reach the heights of Marian consecration. I want to take you straight through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, all the way into the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and understanding this and applying these same principles to Jesus through Mary and with Mary, you're going to be like, wow, Gabriel, this makes sense. I get it. I'm all in. I'm not going to quit. So I encourage you to hit subscribe so you do not miss future live streams where we will break down not just how to get into the heart of Marian consecration. We're going to have live streams about fasting, how to go in depth in your fasting. We'll also break down other foundational spiritual works. Let's conclude in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, Son of the living God, we thank you for your saints. We thank you for good spiritual literature by which we can hear your voice. Blessed Virgin Mary, you alone walked in the perfect presence of God. You had Jesus really, truly, substantially in your womb. You held him in your arms, and you watched him die on the cross. We ask you, Blessed Mother, by your powerful intercession, to help us to have a sense of the presence of God. Help us to renounce all things, no matter how much we might want it, that doesn't lead us to Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I told you that I have a free PDF for you and free MP3 for you to listen to the practice of the presence of God. I listened to this several times. I'm going to put that link in the description. I will also pin it in the comments. God bless you. God love you. And we will see you very soon.